Be sharing from Matthew chapter 1 today. I just want to give you some opening and introductory thoughts to get our mind around this whole idea of the significance of why the name that we talk about this time of the year is so vitally important. If there is one theme that continues to trend in every generation, it's the quest for power. Study history and you will notice that throughout the centuries there's a collision of powers in the world. It's nothing new. When I was really young, we could say things like, my father can beat up your father. Well, where did that come from, right? Did my dad whisper in my ear while I was sleeping, I can beat up Scott's dad. I can beat up Scott's dad. I can beat up Scott's dad, right? You know, power struggle in the sandbox, right? We all know these moments. It seems to be this quest for power. Doesn't matter who you are, you've had a quest for power at times of your life. Some of that has gotten you some real trouble. Power is defined as great or marked ability to do or act, strength, might, force. Power in this world is often associated with the size or impact, no matter what the entity. I would argue there's a quest for power and often for more of it. If power is harnessed correctly, it can do enormous good. If power is harnessed incorrectly, it can have devastating consequences. Just look at some of the major events throughout the world. Look at the events that surrounded World War II and Hitler. Look at some of the atrocities that happened across the world just by a quest for power. Fire controlled in a furnace heats a home. Fire out of control in a dry forest destroys lives and property, as we've recently seen all over the West Coast. You just say like, oh yeah, enjoying that fire in that fireplace. Yeah, let it get out of that fireplace and see what happens to your home. And we saw some of that happen even in the north side of Boston with these houses exploding just suddenly because of a natural gas leak. Think of the way that nations often flaunt their nuclear or military power. Some delusional world leaders out there, you can just see how leaders become intoxicated by power. Just look at that. Just look at some of the battles that we've seen just in the last couple of years, whether it's North Korea wanting nuclear power and threatening small little islands like the island of Guam, by the way, where missionaries Doug and Denise Gregson are on this little island that's beaming superpower gospel radio all over Asia, Australia, and other parts of the world. The way that power intoxicates. On a smaller scale, retailers, automobile manufacturers, tech giants, Apple, you name it, Microsoft, healthcare, insurance companies, at the core, so much of it is about having more power and more control. Just think of what your little phone can do, where it can bring you, what it can buy for you, what it can access. These are things that are, this is putting power in people's hands. We get any tech savvy people here? Right? I know some of you are. I know there's one guy back there in that sound booth. You know, this power and control is often about who's leading or who's winning. The world system is about the quest for power. And none of this should be a shock to you. This quest has been energized by Satan, whose great sin was to usurp God. There are five full arrogant statements in Isaiah 14 where Satan demands he will be like the Most High. He and a third of the angels are cast out of heaven to make war on the earth. In fact, in Luke 10:18, our risen Savior, before he was risen and on the earth, before he died, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Jesus Christ is God in flesh, and he manifested his great love for us when he came to earth. And then within the creation account in Genesis 3, we see Satan coming to Eve and offering the same quest for power, implying God is withholding. When you eat, you will be like him, right? She was already made in God's image. She already had what she needed. See, Satan wants us to be like him. That's the ultimate quest. That's the ultimate deception, is to fall into the hands of Satan so that our life would be utterly ruined and destroyed, and it would send us to an eternity in hell. But see, God loves sinners and he wants to rescue them. He's done that through one person, Jesus. And so we want to always magnify who he is and his great and awesome name. Are you awake? Yeah. All right. If you've ever acted like Satan, it's because his venomous poison entered humanity. And we are no match for him, but only through Jesus Christ. There are times people are like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I did that. How was I so deceived? Well, because we brought sin into this world, and the only way sin gets removed this side of heaven is looking to Jesus and trusting that he did that for you. That is salvation. And it can happen to anybody in this room at any moment. If it happens once, it's permanent, right? But you need to make sure it happened. That's always the important thing. This is why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6 explains in great detail and exhorts the church with this urgency, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Have you ever felt like you were being lured somewhere? And you find yourself in a situation, you say, how did I get here? How did my mind get me here? How did I wind up in this situation? How did I wind up drug addicted? How did I wind up in this mess? Because Satan's temptations are very subtle. Ultimately, he has one mission for you, to destroy you and bring you into eternity without Christ. And then once you are in Christ, he's still going to work on you. And he's going to entice your old sin nature that was already crucified on that cross with Jesus. And then you need to know how to be filled with his Spirit so that you can flourish as a new person in him. And that's all made possible because of this wonderful name that we want to talk about for just a few moments. What made our success and victory possible right now in 2018, as we close off 2018, is made possible by the most powerful name ever. The name that saves sinners. The name that raises the dead. The name that Satan shudders to hear. The name that's above every name. The name is Jesus. This is who we worship. I worship a risen Savior. I worship a Savior who took nails in his hands and his feet and a sword into his side, and after 3 days of laying in a tomb, rises from the dead and shows himself to 500 people and is still saving people today. But this little baby that we talk about, this little baby in a manger, was so powerful, but he restrained his power. He demonstrated such love. He healed people. He did amazing things. He came alongside people. He listened to people. He said, your sins are forgiven. I am he, right? I'm the one that you're looking for. I'm he. And he humbles himself in this amazing way throughout his entire life. But when he comes again, he's coming in full glory. And the Bible says that when we see him, we're going to be like him. We're going to be transformed. This should be like just resonating. This should blow your Christmas, just your depression apart. You should just say, I got God. I got God through Jesus Christ because God loved me that much. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, right? Paul says, for I am chief. And Paul would go on to say, follow me because Christ taught me how to follow him. I want you to follow my example so that you can think like me and know how to overcome in this sometimes what feels like a gross and dirty world. But see, if you haven't been saved, you haven't been born again, this is your day. This is your awesome opportunity. I just love this. This is so cool. All right, so in Matthew's gospel account, okay, Matthew's presenting Jesus as the Messiah. Always remember that the gospel accounts were compiled after the resurrection. About a 30-year period would have happened when probably most of the books in our Bible, maybe 20, maybe 30, the books in our Bible, by the Holy Spirit's direction, came and they relived the ministry of Jesus Christ. So Matthew's relating to a Jewish mindset. He's presenting Jesus as the Messiah and the King. And if you looked at Matthew chapter 1, there's a genealogy. It was like a bunch of names. And if you don't know how to pronounce them, well, welcome. There's a lot of complicated names in the scripture. But they're real people with a real history, and they're part of God's amazing story. And so Matthew is delineating 14 generations between Abraham and David, David in the Babylonian captivity, and from the Babylonian captivity to the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to look at today. Matthew 18, verses 25, talks about three things. I put them on the back of your bulletin, if I can find mine. Should be right there. Oh, that's last week. All right, where's my bulletin? Here it is. Whoop. All the other ingredients falling apart. Okay. If you don't, I want you to see three things. I want you to make sure you get this. Salvation is for every person. There is not this such thing as the limited atonement, okay? Jesus Christ paid for the world's sin. Simply, you need to believe that for you. That's number one. Number two, he's been promised to us. And I want to talk about some of these in some detail. And he is present with us. So if you can get those three things straight about Jesus, Jesus is salvation, and why don't you personalize this? Salvation for me. It's a promise to me, and he's present with me. Does that work? Does that work? That's really, this is the power of the salvation that we steward. We are managers. We are sharing the wealth, if you would. A good steward needs to be entrusted, and that's why a good church makes sure that people know how to come into relationship with Christ. If you ever wondered what does Jesus' name mean, it means salvation. He saves his people from their sins. This is the same as the Old Testament word Joshua in the Hebrew. See, Jesus Christ takes on the forces of hell and comes to earth to rescue sinners. You heard about the guy? Like he's waiting. He's drowning. He's, you know, or I don't know, he's somewhere. He needs a lifeline, right? So he climbs up on his roof and he says, hey, some guy comes by and says, hey, grab the life preserver. He goes, no, I'm going to wait till God saves me. Another guy comes in a boat. He's like, I'm waiting for God to save me, right? So here's another one. I forget by the third one, the guy's like, he ignores the third one. He dies. He says, God, you didn't save me. He says, I sent you a boat. You know, I sent you a ladder. I sent you people, but you ignored them. And see, that's the way people say, well, how's God saving me? Well, he's saving you through Jesus. This is how precise his plan is. You have to keep in mind that Jesus Christ always existed with the Father. He wasn't created, right? He takes on human flesh. He leaves perfect heaven. By the way, all those stars that are flung out in space and every single human being that's on this planet was made by Christ. And Christ initiates how you can be reconciled to him in that he does what he can do. And you have to come to him. And I'm so thankful. So many of you have. And there's more of you to come. And there's more for us to get to know him better. Jesus Christ is the gift that keeps on giving. That's why when Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so when you recognize that this is God's business, God's in the business of saving people. That's what God cares about the most. And save is rescue forever. Save is when you leave this life, and you guys know some people who just suddenly seems like they disappear. As I talked to you a few minutes ago with my friend Effie, I mean, Effie was a workhorse for Jesus, right? She was a workhorse. She loved Christ. She would be visiting people 5:30, 6:30 in the morning in hospitals all over the city of Boston. I believe Effie did one thing that she wanted to do. I want to serve Jesus until I can't serve him anymore or he calls me home. And she did that well. And I think that should be, again, take time to grow first. If you try to do that the moment you're born again, it's not going to work. So many new Christians get misdirected in service that they actually fail under that pressure because they didn't realize how weak they really are. And if you and I can gain strength in learning this book, learning the scripture, and God will fortify you, and then he'll present amazing opportunities in front of you, and by faith you're going to step out and you're going to do it. And then he's going to show himself strong in your life over and over again. And then you read the scripture and it becomes more and more familiar to you. And you start to, it's marinating in your brain. How many people like a good piece of steak marinated? Right. Those flavors. And I believe scripture is a lot like that. It's like it just starts to coat my thinking. And I see things that I didn't see before because I realize my old ways weren't getting it done for me. They're just the old Dave ways, and that guy died with Jesus, and I'm so glad he's gone, and a new man is emerging. So verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. See, You have to learn a little bit of the backstory. Christ came to his own, the Jewish people, but his own rejected him to the point they actually were on board with nailing him to a cross. But see, that doesn't stop God. God knew he was coming to this planet to die for sinners, and he knew exactly how he would die. When Jesus comes in and he looks at Jerusalem, he knows. And Jesus even said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stone the prophets," right? You who have no regard for all that God has already showed you, right? "I would have gathered, as a mother hen gathers her chicks, I would have gathered you, but you would not." Do you see the heart of God? He wants every person to come. That's the beautiful thing about God. But see, we don't just make up how to come to God. We come via God's way. And God's way is a person. His name is Jesus. Salvation is Christ. The Bible says, "Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Do you realize you need a present salvation every day? In other words, a lot of people think, "I'm good with God because I called upon Jesus to save me and he took away my sin." You really, you need continual salvation to keep you living and loving him. Because you're wondering, like, I talked to someone this morning. I was really pumped up. It's good to be back because I've been away for 2 weeks. I need to be here to be reminded. You go out in the world system where the quest for power is great. You look at some of the nasty stuff on social media, and some of you guys, I'm sure, have been victims of social media, and people just say things sometimes on social media that they wouldn't say to your face. And you see some of these arguments that come up, and people can be very cold. We have people, I heard about a Fox meteorologist for a Detroit station. She's having a baby bump. She's a meteorologist. She has a baby bump. Somebody, "Who are you? Look at you." And they're criticizing this woman. This woman also went in for a surgery that didn't go very well, for LASIK surgery. She wound up taking her own life. You see the pressure sometimes that people feel to conform to this world, because sometimes physical appearance makes people feel like, "I'm more meaningful. I'm more valuable." You need to know that you're valuable in Jesus. Just let that become your foundational thinking. I'm valued because God values me. He made me, he formed me, and he died for me. And Jesus came into this world so that I would know him. See how Satan whispers lies to us. If you only had this, if you could only do this, you'd be better. And sometimes that quest never ends. If I could only be married, if I could only do this, and the things that people sometimes wind up damaging their life because they get on a quest that's outside of God's best, and then they pay that. And the Bible calls that reaping and sowing. And sometimes Christians get really discouraged after they've sown to their own flesh, and they can quit. Sometimes there are Christians out there who's like, "I don't even know if I'm saved anymore." Well, because you need to grow in grace. You need to throw yourself a grace party every day. Throw yourself a grace party that Christ loved me and died for me. And I didn't deserve it, but I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to get in on this as much as I can. This is about growing yourself up in your most holy faith for the God who left heaven to come to this earth. In this precious little infant named Jesus, who knew as he grew up he was coming to the point where he would die for the world's sin. And the world would look on that and be like, "Look at him." Because people on his right and his left, and one finally says, "Remember me." One's right beside him, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He knew he was a king. He had heard about him. And Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Do you realize your last breath you can breathe a prayer? But don't wait. That's the problem. People wait. I'll get right with God later on in my life. You don't know. We had people here on our Thanksgiving dinner night, 150-something people. Two people left. One person was hit by a train right down the street here for our dinner, not even 2 hours before. We don't know. That's not to freak us out, but we should just realize that we aren't in control. I am not in control. And I love you guys, and I really would love for you to just be so on board with just growing in grace and in this amazing joy that Jesus wants us to have. He took all the junk from our lives. He took all the sin. He took all the guilt, all the shame, all the condemnation. He took it all. And he says, "I want to give you my righteousness." And this is the only way, believer, that you and I are going to grow. Number two, we talked about Jesus' salvation for us. He's promised to us 700 years. Just think about this. As Matthew's compiling this amazing account of the life of Jesus Christ resurrected, all that Jesus did, the announcement of the kingdom is here. Matthew is very careful to insert a prophecy that was made 700 years ago by the prophet Isaiah. And it's in Isaiah chapter 7. Above all, you must... Okay, so all this was done. Sorry about that. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through his prophet. The prophet Isaiah said that this would happen 700 years before. And here's this little infant baby that shows up just as God scheduled. The Bible says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never has its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. When you look at your Bible, or a Bible, and if you don't have a Bible, we've got plenty of Bibles for you. So make sure you don't leave without a Bible if you need a Bible. We got some of the easier language Bibles, easier. A church donated a ton of Bibles to us a couple years ago. And we want to make sure that if you need a Bible, you grab one. But as you look at every book, 66 books in this inside here, there's 66 books. They're all directed by the same Spirit, and God is working all things together, and he gives great clarity. He shows he's got a plan for Israel. He shows he's got a plan for the church. And right now, whether Jew or Gentile, whether a Jew lives in Israel or they live in America, or a Gentile lives over some other part of the world or lives here in America, a Gentile is somebody who's not directly Jewish, a Jewish descendant. They are a specific group that God still plans to use, and it's wonderful plans for the Jewish people. And they're still going to go through some difficult time in the days to come. That's called the Great Tribulation, and it's coming. But God is still going to save them. But right now, Jew or Gentile, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's, you just want to always remember that. God is still working. Right now, he's building this thing called this church. He says, look it, the work's done. I did the work in my son. Your job, receive him, believe him. Learn to grow in this amazing salvation. Do you ever realize when someone's so generous to you? I see it happen in my church, in this church, where because the goodness of God is just flowing through, people come up to me and they want to thank me. And it's sometimes I don't know what to say. I'm just glad that we could bless you. I'm just glad that you feel blessed, that you feel encouraged, whatever. It's just awesome when people seem to get a hold of grace. Did somebody ever bless you so much you don't know what to do with it? You almost feel like, I don't deserve this, right? But they wanted to do it, and that's just like God. He wants to bless you, and you can't pay him back. That's the problem that happens to Christians. Well, now I got to get perfect. You can get better. You can get better through the Spirit of God's help. You can do things for the right reasons when those power struggles are going on in your brain and tit for tat. And I'm not going to do that because they did that to me. And this crazy thing that operates sometimes up here in this war zone, that you can yield yourself once again to this beautiful gift that was given for you. That's why Paul would say, forgive one another just as God in Christ also forgave you. That's why forgiveness can extend in the life of a church. Because I didn't deserve it, right? You may not deserve it, but God tells me to give it because that's the way he is. He wants us to be loving and forgiving, long-suffering. Yes, he wants people, if people need correction, let's gently correct them. It's not that we can never speak to someone's life. You're judging me. Well, listen, if somebody's doing something that's hurtful to them, I'm going to say, that's going to take you down. That's going to be something that could really hurt you. I say it in love. This is what love is all about, tough love. You talk about parents who sometimes enable their children. Well, I'm just giving him money for his drug habit because he's going to go find it somewhere. Well, don't help him, you know. And now we got pot stores opening up in Wareham this week. Okay, great. I don't have an opinion on that. So Christ is a promise. He was promised 700 years, promised to the Jewish people, but his promise goes beyond the Jewish people. It goes to the world. And that's why Matthew's genealogy, goes all the way back to Abraham, where God saw Abraham's faith and says, I will bless those who bless thee, right? Through you, all the nations, all the families will be blessed. This is the first prophecy about Jesus Christ. And then in 2 Samuel 7, David's talking to God about this everlasting covenant, and God's making an everlasting covenant to David. Through his line's going to come Messiah. And if you look at Matthew chapter 1, Abraham, the promise made by God to Abraham, the promise made by God to David is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. 14, 14, 14, all those generations later, here he is. He's God's gift to the world. And at one point, God says, this is my beloved son, listen to him. God wants us to listen to Jesus. He wants us to hear him. He is life to us. He is rescue to us. He is everything that you want in your life. And this is a pretty cool point. 2,500 prophetic statements or prophecies in Scripture. Out of the 2,500 prophecies in Scripture, 2,000 of them have already been fulfilled. God announces his plan. Prophecy is God announcing his plan with detail and description, and then it comes to pass. That's why God was really serious about people who were false prophets and false teachers and people speaking for him that had no right to speak for him, and they'd mess people up and they'd lead them astray and they would go do things that were not God's will for them. God takes false teaching really serious. But when God makes a prophecy and he describes it and he lays out a description and he provides the detail even 700 years before it happens and then it comes to pass, you listen to him. Someone said, rightly said, the Bible, trust it, don't adjust it. I like that. That's a good way. Jimmy DeYoung, a good friend of mine for years when I was working for Songtime, a radio ministry that was a big, big emphasis on what was happening within the Middle East. He says, let's keep looking up until. That's what the church wants to do, is be looking up, be looking for Christ to come again. And that is coming. He is coming. Don't be mistaken. Our Lord is coming. And finally, Christ is present with us. Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Wow. You think about what has happened in this world with sin. People have gone their own way. They don't. Do you know my times, like my wife and I were just walking down the streets of Boston, four-letter words just flying out of people's faces, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh my goodness, like you just like this, you know, you hear God's name just taken in vain, just like it's just a stream of whatever you want to call that. Just, and I'm like, wow, it's just on the heart of man to be unhappy because they don't know that they can have a right relationship with God. And that's why as a church, we want to be really balanced, really loving, really caring, and inviting people to know our wonderful Savior while there's time. And so it just hits me where we sometimes realize, you know, I can't even walk down the street now without someone like blowing a big pot smoke in my face. I mean, it's like, it's in Boston. I'm like, Aaron's like, what's that? He goes, I smell a skunk. I'm like, you're right, boy. Hey, we're just keeping it real here, okay? This is the real world. This is the real world. And some of the real world has encroached upon our life and it's robbed us. And Jesus says that Satan is a robber and he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. You can arrest that with Christ. And the church is holding back the corruption. That's why when people blab about, hey, come to my church because there's some really cool things in there. They're actually giving away hams, right? You know, who does this? Who feeds, prepared to feed 200 people? See, the very name of Jesus is assurance, God with us. You're never alone if you have him, ever. Your worst moment, your worst feeling, the worst times in your life, and God can make alive the word of God to you once again, and that you know, I'm for you. It's only a little while before you're with me forever. It's just so sweet. It's just, that's why I think there is an energy in the church, because not, hopefully in other churches too, but because I think people get on board with, wow, I've been rescued from corruption. God saved me. He's working in me. And I need these people to help me. This is the church. The very name of God given to Jesus Christ gives you and I assurance. God with us. Some of us know the great, wonderful hymn by John Newton called Amazing Grace. I saw this poem and I think it's worth reading. I'll wrap it up with this. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breast. 'Tis manna to the hungry soul, to the weary, rest. Dear name, the rock on which I build my shield and hiding place, my never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace. By thee my prayer's acceptance gain, although with sin defiled, Satan accuses me in vain, and I am an owned child. Jesus, my shepherd, bridegroom, friend, O prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I bring. Weak is the effort of my heart, and cold my warmest thought. But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Till then I would thy love proclaim with every fleeting breath, and may the music of thy name refresh my soul in death. Wow! Hallelujah! What a Savior we have! His name is Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Father, for the gift of Jesus, the wonderful Savior, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. I pray for anyone in this room this morning who simply may need to say, I'm ready. I am just so ready. I'm coming home. I'm coming. I'm just coming. I'm coming to Christ, my risen Savior, who I never called upon, that I heard about today, and I believe him. I want him, and I want to tell others about him. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your great, amazing sacrifice, the great and everlasting gift that you brought into this world in this wonderful little package of a human being, a little baby, God in flesh. And then what you did for us is so utterly amazing, so full of love, so full of your grace. And we just thank you, Father. We just want to be constantly growing in this most holy faith, this precious rescue, this perfect plan of God that takes away our sin and makes us right with you. That's what we need more than ever. Father, I thank you for each person in this room and every seat that's here this morning. I pray for these people, Lord. I pray that the Spirit of God will just continue to work in the great levels of their own heart, the wonderful truths that belong to them as your child, that there would be no other place to run, there'd be no other place to go. I just go to you, Lord, because you are the one who created everything. When I look up at this starry night sky, I realize my God created this amazing heaven, this amazing place. And he's coming again. He's coming to rescue me. And I thank you so much, Father. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Father, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you, I pray that this might be their day to say, I'm coming. Anybody here this morning wants to slip up their hand? Anybody say, I'm ready. I come. I'm just coming. Pastor, I want this. Anybody here this morning? Father, thank you for the ways that you speak to people's hearts. May our church continue to be the place that is a safe place for the youngest of believers, to the maturing believer, Lord, to the one who says, I am serving God. I want to serve him better. I want to know him better. I want to tell people about him. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. To God be all the glory for the great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. I pray in Jesus' holy and precious name this morning. Amen.